Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the revealed Son of God, our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning our reading took a rather large leap ahead in time. I could have swore a baby Jesus was up here last week. And now we have fully grown adult Jesus making his way to the Jordan River for a baptism by John the Baptist. And this reading fits into this season of the church year that we call Epiphany. And Pastor Dan preached about that last week. And if you recall, Epiphany is about revelation. At Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation of our God and the Christ child Jesus. And now we ask the question, who is he? Who is this Jesus? And that question leads us to this scene on the banks of the Jordan River, where God reveals to us the answer. This epiphany, this revelation, it's not our own, but one that comes from God. And at the end of our reading, as Jesus comes up out of the water, the Spirit of God descends upon him, and God himself speaks and answers that question. Who is this Jesus? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. But what unfolds here in the waters of the Jordan River is more than an unveiling of the Son of God. It's a revelation of the fulfillment of all righteousness. It's this pivotal moment in God's plan of salvation for all of humanity. It's really the first step that Jesus takes on his journey to the cross. And so here at the Jordan River, we see Jesus being baptized by John. But this scene, this picture of Jesus being baptized is confusing, and I think conjures up a number of questions for us. Like, why does Jesus need to be baptized? What does Jesus mean when he says that it is to fulfill all righteousness? And what does any of this have to do with us in the here and now? To begin answering those questions, we first need to look at John and his ministry and this baptism that he baptizes Jesus. John's role in the biblical narrative is that of kind of a primer. He's a primer for the coming Messiah. He's there to prepare the way for the coming Lord. And so John is out in the wilderness and he is preaching and he is teaching and he is calling God's people to repentance. He's calling the people of Israel to turn back to God, to repent of their sin and rebellion, and become his people again through baptism. So baptism here is a marker of repentance. It's a marker of a return of Israel back to their God. But as we just read, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, so what possible need does he have for a baptism of repentance? Jesus has no sin to repent of. Jesus has no need to return back to God. Jesus' action to come to John and submit to this baptism, it doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. And that's exactly John's perspective as he sees Jesus. As Jesus comes down to the river, we see John in disbelief. And John says, if anything, you should be baptizing me, and yet you come to me. But Jesus responds to him and says, let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And that line right there is the key to this whole scene. Because Jesus, it's true, doesn't need a baptism of repentance. Jesus has no need to do any of the things that John is calling the people of Israel to do. And yet Jesus does it anyway, in order to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness. It's a tough word, a churchy word. Jesus has come to restore righteousness. Jesus has come to make right that which is wrong. Jesus has come to restore a right relationship. That's what righteousness is all about. It's about restoring a right relationship between God and his people and all things. Jesus has come to fulfill all righteousness. And that is what this moment in the Jordan River is all about. That is what Jesus is telling John. He's saying, you're right. I don't need to be baptized by you. I don't need it. I don't need to repent. But there are countless people who do. And I come for them. I stand for them. I speak for them. And I come to restore them. See, John has the right idea. Jesus has the right idea when he sees Jesus. This baptism is utterly unprecedented. But Jesus goes into the water. But he goes into the water not to wash off any of his sin. He goes into the water to take our sin onto himself. Jesus goes into that water to stain himself with our sin, to take our failures and to make them his own, that he might come wretched and stained and splattered to the cross to make payment for it all. That's what's happening in this baptism. And yet, even here, I think this unbelievable reality of what's happening can often escape us. The gut punch for me in all of this, as I think about this baptism, is how little I consider it. How little I consider what my life cost. Christ's suffering and death, yes, upon the cross, I know that Jesus died for my sins, but even more than that, in Jesus, the God of the universe is humiliated. The God of the universe is humbled completely. The very definition of power and glory takes upon himself the weakness of human flesh, but takes it even one step farther. He takes it one step farther. Our perfect God humbles himself to the lowest degree and takes upon himself our sin and makes it his own. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, takes the stain of my sin upon himself. But I know it's easy to shrug all of that sin off. Shrug off all those sinful habits we find ourselves in, those times, those little times here and there where we find ourselves outside of God's will because we know, hey, I'm God's child. He loves me. He died for me. And in the end, that's all that matters. And for reflecting on our lives, how easy is it for us to become numb to our own sin that Christ took upon himself? To take God's grace and kindness as our right, to move on without considering what it cost, the humiliation of our God. This baptism is the first act of love in Jesus' ministry, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, this moment in time where Christ takes the sin of the world upon himself. And he takes that great weight. And he goes to the cross to make payment for it all. And upon that cross, this act of love is finally fulfilled, where righteousness is made possible for all people. The sin is paid for. It's washed away in his blood. And so it is that through Christ's baptism and through his own death, our baptism, the baptism that Kaylin received this morning, means something. This baptism means something because of what Christ did that day. When we come to the baptismal waters, we come and experience something very different than Jesus did that day. See, when Jesus entered those waters, he came as the pure and blameless Son of God. And when he left that water, he walked out filthy and stained in sin, walking towards his own death. But what God accomplishes in the waters of holy baptism is the exact inverse. When we come to the waters, we come blotted in our own sins and transgressions, unable to seek God. But we are washed. Miraculously, we are washed from our sin. We are made clean. And as we are connected to Christ in his death, we die in Christ. And we rise up out of that water, new creations, washed in the blood of Jesus. See, when Christ submitted to John's baptism, he left just as we come, covered in sin and condemned to die. And when we are washed in holy baptism, we leave as Christ came, pure and blameless, God's beloved children. Here in the waters of baptism, God's plan of salvation is ultimately fulfilled, perfect and complete. It all begins here, on the banks of the Jordan River. This baptism of Jesus. This baptism of Jesus is a revelation from God, a revelation of his Son, a revelation of his plan to bear our sin, a revelation of his desire to make us his beloved children. And as God has a tendency to do, he does it in a way that we wouldn't expect. He works through humility, in a baptism that wasn't for him, but for us, that he might take upon himself the sin of the world, that he might take one more step in humility and make payment for that sin, the atoning sacrifice on the cross. That he would fulfill all righteousness through his baptism and death and restore all things into a right relationship with our God and Creator. May we ever be reminded of Christ's work. May we ever be in such a right relationship with our God as is made possible through his baptism. Through our baptism, as we are connected to him and his work in those waters and on that holy cross. Praise be to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.